Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine for the 19th consecutive year. The Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News & World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. On May the 4th, 2007, an EF5, which is the strongest tornado possible, cut a 1.7-mile swath through a town that's only about 2.5 miles wide. It destroyed that town. The town was called Greensburg, Kansas. Winds reached over 200 miles an hour, and people fled that town afterwards. The town's population dropped from, I think, around 2,000, if I remember this right, to about 800 people. But it was reborn as a green city, literally a green city, the most LEED-certified city in America. Its hospital redid its main street that way. There are a lot of issues around what happened there. But we want to find out more about what happened, as many people do, in Greensburg, Kansas. And we're about to have a conversation with its mayor, Bob Dixon, who, by the way, will be here in Baltimore this Saturday. And at noon, Bob Dixon will give the keynote address at the Solar and Wind Expo, which takes place at the Timonium Fairgrounds this Friday through Sunday. But he'll be here Saturday. You can go to www.thesolarandwindexpo.com for information. Just go and show up and really enjoy the expo and learn a great deal more. And Bob Dixon, Mayor Bob Dixon, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hey, Mark, what an honor and pleasure to be with you today and be able to chat.
It was good to have you here.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
So tell me about let's just take people, our listeners, back for a moment. We don't have to do that for a long time, but take them back to where you were on this day 3 years ago when the tornado hit your town.
3 years ago today, it was on a Friday, and we were just ending our week and just getting ready for a great weekend with our families and our friends. And at 9:45 that night, in the blink of an eye, our lives changed. An EF5 tornado, the largest on history at that time, that was almost 2 miles wide, came through and leveled 95% of the buildings in town, churches, businesses, schools, hospitals, houses, everything. In the midst of all that, we lost 11 of our valued citizens, and we sorely miss those citizens. And we are just excited about the opportunity, though, that we've been blessed with to build a town back from scratch as our ancestors built for us.
Now, you did build a town from scratch, but when you did it, I mean, there was still, from what I've read, a lot of consternation on some levels in the town about what to do. What was the mayor? Who was the mayor then? His name was?
Pardon?
You're the mayor when that, right after the tornado hit.
The mayor at that time, right after the tornado, was Lonnie McCollum.
Right, and he and others had this idea.
There was a great idea from square one with input from our governor at the state of Kansas at that time, Kathleen Sebelius, our city administrator, Steve Hewitt, county commissioner, Gene West. We just had tremendous input through FEMA, state agencies that said, hey, your town's Greensburg. Why not build back as sustainable and green as you can?
So talk about the beginning of that. How did you all get there? I mean, you weren't mayor then, but you were obviously an active citizen and were elected mayor a bit later, just about a year later. So talk about what happened.
Well, right after the storm, we had no place to meet in town as a community. And we were scattered with friends and family and neighbors all over the county and the region just staying. FEMA put up a big tent in the park outside on the east side of town after they got the debris cleared, and we did everything in that tent. We did our planning sessions. We held city and county meetings. We had community church services. We laughed, we cried, and we laughed together. And in that process, the idea of going green and sustainable just grew and grew and grew. And it's really 3 years later has come to a great fruition with a bright future for tomorrow.
So, I mean, even before this tornado hit, Greensburg, Kansas was struggling as a...
Not unlike any rural community in the United States. Most rural communities in the United States, their biggest export over the last 40 years has been their youth. that went off and got great college educations and went to work in metropolitan areas for major corporations. And we had nothing to offer them to come back. And by going green and sustainable, we have created the opportunities through jobs and employment for young generations that have that quality education to come back and be involved in that emerging technology.
So let me take a step backwards again. I'm curious why you ended up running for mayor. Why did you decide in the midst of this disaster and people are trying to figure out how to rebuild it, why you ran for mayor?
I had a wide cross-section of the community come to me the fall after the storm and encourage me to run for mayor. And through prayerful consideration and guidance from my family and close friends, it was the right thing to do at the time. I'm a firm believer that each one of us have talents that are needed at a specific time in history, and the citizens of Greensburg felt that my talents were needed at this time.
And so tell me, what was the sojourn? Tell me what happened and how you began to rebuild this town in a totally different way. I mean, you just opened not too long ago, maybe it was a month ago or so, that your hospital opened, right?
Yes, back in March we had the ribbon-cutting grand opening of a brand-new hospital, the first critical care access facility in the nation that certified LEED Platinum. But the whole process started early on with community meetings where we had 600-700 people show up to these planning meetings, of visionary meetings of how we wanted the town to look, of where we wanted the school, how we wanted to consolidate medical services, how we wanted downtown to look, those kind of things, as our ancestors did for us many, many years ago, of building a town to last a lifetime. It was our awesome responsibility for future generations to make sure that we built on what our ancestors taught us about sustainability.
So I want to go through some of the things you did, though. You passed a resolution.
In December of 2007, the City Council passed a resolution that all municipal buildings over 4,000 square foot would be built at the LEED Platinum level U.S. Green Building Council certification.
And what does that mean? Tell me what that means for people who want to build a building and what that entails. What does that mean that you're a...
Well, what it really means, it just comes down to a simple scorecard about energy savings, about lighting, about good use of building materials, about sustainability of the building. And it's a scorecard by the U.S. Green Building Council that goes through that certification process to say that a building is LEED.
It was 2 years ago when that happened. President Barack Obama talked about Greensburg in his speech to Congress in February of that year.
Yes, at his address to the joint session of Congress, I was very honored to represent the citizens of Cuyahoga County and Greensburg at the invitation of the First Lady at that address.
But I really want to get to the heart of what makes Greensburg different than other towns. Many towns are being hit hard by this economic downturn, layoffs, agriculture is in a very tough position. Many Midwestern and Southern towns and Western towns and towns in this area that are built on agriculture are having a difficult time making it. What exactly did you do? I mean, what exactly happened? What did you begin rebuilding and how?
Well, the first thing we needed to rebuild was a business community. You have to have commerce and you have to have employment. So we built a incubator building, a business incubator that allowed businesses to come in, get their feet underneath them, get a positive cash flow going before they had to hatch out of it and go into building their own building. And this just allowed an incentive for businesses to be in Greensburg and come back. And most all the businesses that are in the incubator were businesses that were here prior to the storm. So we wanted to provide them the opportunity to be here. We wanted to make sure we had offered the opportunity for grocery store, convenience stores, and all those things that just make a community grow.
Now, when this tornado hit, one of the things that many, I mean, there are trees in Kansas. As many people know there, don't realize there are trees in Kansas, but there are. But when the tornado hit, the one thing you don't have any longer to look at is when talking about green, are your trees. They were devastated.
Well, you know, Mark, we were in the plains of western Kansas. Trees are highly important, and our ancestors built windbreaks and planted trees in every town. We were a tree-lined community. Beautiful community of old Victorian homes. And yes, I sorely miss 11 of our citizens that lost their lives, and I miss all my possessions that were lost, but the most important thing is we lost our trees, because those take a lifetime to grow back. And it's exciting to see people, you know, as they're landscaping, to make sure they're planting a lot of trees, so that our future generations will be able to sit in the shade of the trees that, just like our ancestors planted for us.
But when this tornado happened, 500 people left the town, not to return.
Oh, at least, yeah.
At least
we,
right?
We maybe lost close to 1,000 people right off the bat.
So this rebuilding thing, though, was very emotional, because, I mean, not everybody in Greensburg, Kansas, agreed with turning Greensburg green.
Well, let's say a majority of them did.
But
a tremendous majority that were behind it and knew that this is what we need to do for the future of the community.
But I mean, in the give and take of the volatility of democracy, especially kind of an open town kind of democracy like you have in Kansas, that was a pretty volatile situation for a bit.
Yes, it was.
Because it changed the nature of the town. The town doesn't look the same as it used to.
Right, right.
So what was built? I mean, talk about the idea of this school that you're building and how it is green and how it also kind of fits into your idea of building something very different socially, because this is a school, as I understand it, is for all the kids in the county, and how you've also rebuilt it as a green school.
Yes, and the school in any community is highly critical because of the education of our youth. But our school is designed to take advantage of the natural solar heating and lighting. It will have wind generation on site. It will have solar panels. Also, there's a hydrogen cell backup system. It affords our students the opportunity within the curriculum and the teachers teach tremendous things about environmental stewardship.
And did I read somewhere recently that one of the next big projects online is to create, I forget, was it 4 or 5 massive wind turbines that will supply the entire needs of the town?
And Mark, right now we have 10 wind turbines up that generate 12.5 megawatts of electricity that generate all the needs for the city of Greensburg, plus we are an exporter to other communities, so that part of their portfolio will be wind generated and alternative energy.
So in some senses, Greensburg is green and off the grid.
Yes. You know, right now we are like a living laboratory of all the modern technologies, not only in sustainable building products, but in alternative energies. And it's working. And we're excited about the future.
Now, when you tried to build Main Street, what I've been reading is you ran into a little political turbulence about, because of where the money was going to come from, how much was going to be spent. Was this the town manager, Mr. Hewitt? Is that right?
Yes.
And that he was battling over how this money was going to be, where you're going to get the money, and how much was going to be spent to rebuild the town because of the amount of money it might cost to rent out the stores. Talk about that.
Well, you know, from square one, there's always the issue when you rebuild of costs and of funding gaps. We've been very fortunate to have, we had good insurance on buildings. We had some great assistance from FEMA and USDA Rural Development. Plus, we've had some major contributions from corporations and individuals all over the United States. The SunChips Corporation, a division of Frito-Lay, donated $1 million to the incubator building. Leonardo DiCaprio donated $400,000. Clorox Corporation has donated to the school. We have been able, because they want to be part of the rebuilding process and they want to be part of the excitement here in Greensburg.
Now, now that you mention that, let me talk a bit about that. I mean, I'd like to just kind of be frank with our listeners and talk about some of the realities here of the cost of rebuilding this town. And you just mentioned a little bit here, but it seems to me fair to say that the whether it's the $400,000 or so that Leonardo DiCaprio put in and the money put in by these other corporations and the federal money that came in to help rebuild the town, to make it the green spot of the nation, the green small town of the nation. This costs a lot of money that you probably, despite the great Kansas pioneer spirit, would not have been able to accomplish without that infusion of capital.
Mark, we wouldn't have not been able to accomplish it as quick as we did. We would have found creative ways to make it work, but it really helped that assistance. Now, when we talk about private residences and their homes, FEMA and those agencies don't cover any of that. So those people have really been innovative in cost effectiveness of a building as green as they can with the green that they have available. And being able to utilize designs and insulation, natural sunlight that doesn't cost that much more, but can cut your energy bills by over half.
So, I mean, I'd like to hear what that lesson says to you about the kind of investment. Two things. Let's start with the kind of investment you think it would take for towns and communities like yours across America to turn themselves as leads green as you have, and the kind of investment it takes to do that. I mean, it does take some financial commitment from all kinds of sources to make that happen. If we were going to expand Greensburg to a number of the towns in America.
It takes a tremendous financial commitment. There's no question about that. But it also takes within a community a vision for the future and then action towards it. And always remember, and I want your listeners to understand this, the greenest building that we have in the United States is the one that's already built. What can we do to make that more energy efficient, more cost effective in operation? And when we're able to do that, we're able to be more sustainable. But yes, it's financially, it costs more, but with the rising cost of energy, if you can cut bills by 50%, that means that you can invest more up front and still be able to only spend the same amount of month that you were spending prior to that.
So, when I go on your website and I look at the pictures of your town, I mean, it's remarkable what this place looks like.
Well, thank you.
And how it is just changed. I mean, you have this John Deere. I want to talk about Hosmer, but you have this John Deere dealership, right?
Correct.
Talk about that John Deere dealership and what it's doing.
The Estes family had four dealerships, and one of them was here in Greensburg. And they made the commitment to build back as sustainable and green as they could. And you know what? They obtained LEED Platinum on a agriculture dealership facility, because they understood the cost savings that would help them in energy costs, in the recycling of oils and fluids, everything that they have. It's a very traditional-looking building, but certified LEED Platinum. And John Deere Corporation is using this as a model and a prototype of how they would like other dealerships to consider building.
So, I mean, there are a lot of lessons going on. People have been coming to your town from all across the globe, haven't they?
We have. Ecotourism is a tremendous economic boom for Greensburg, and we love to share what we've learned, both positive and less than positive. But you can come here and you can view all the active systems and passive systems in energy savings and see what works and what doesn't work. It's not just about a slick brochure that a company puts out. Companies are showcasing their products through Greensburg, Kansas.
Now, folks, I meant to say this earlier. The lines are open at 410-319-8888. Some of you listening may think this is pre-recorded. It's not. Mayor Bob Dixon of Greensburg, Kansas is live with us here. 410-319-8888 to join in this discussion. Because think about your own communities listening to this in small towns, maybe listening to this program right now, or in the city here. or in Washington about how neighbors themselves can begin to turn themselves around. And the examples we're learning from Greensburg, Kansas. You can, as you hear this conversation go on, I'll encourage you to go to our website, but also you can go to a number of websites to see what is going on in Greensburg, Kansas. One of those websites is the Greensburg website. And do I have this right, Mayor Dixon? It's www.greensburggreentown.org. Is that right?
That's one of the websites. I'm going to give your listeners the city website.
Okay.
Is www.greensburgks.org.
For Kansas, obviously. This is Greensburg, Kansas.
And greensburgks.org. And the school's website is usd422.org. And you can see real-time live camera of the building of the new school and the activities down there. But those three websites give you your listeners a pretty good idea of what's going on out here.
And there's also been followed on television, Leonardo DiCaprio's TV series on Planet Green on Greensburg, the story of a community rebuilding. It also has its own website at planetgreen.discovery.com on Discovery TV. Which you can check all those things out, and all those links will be on our website at steinershow.org. You can join us here at 410-319-8888 to join in on this conversation with Bob Dixon, mayor of Greensburg, Kansas, who will be here in Baltimore this weekend at noon this Saturday. Bob Dixon will give the keynote address at the Solar and Wind Expo, which takes place at the Timonium Fairgrounds this weekend. And for more information, you can go to www.thesolarandwindexpo.com. As I said, all that information will be on our website as well. Let's talk a bit about your hospital and what was done there. This is the only LEED certified hospital in the nation. So somebody would say, so what? tell us what the so what is.
And that's true. You know, we get a lot of that. Well, so what? But, you know, when we had that grand opening and I was out there and we toured the patient rooms and the natural lighting and the atmosphere, I tell you, jokingly, I'd almost want to get sick to go there. It's so nice to be there. But it's not just about energy savings. It's not just about having wind and solar, although that's very, very, very important. It's about quality of life. And these things all go back to quality of life, of having facilities that provide that quality of life for not only us, but future generations. And that's the one thing that I'm so excited about, being able to come back there to Baltimore, to the fairgrounds, and be at the Solar and Wind Expo and the great things that they're going to have with what's going on all weekend. And I just encourage your listeners to log on to their website and check it out.
Now, talk a bit about, for our listeners, again, I want them to get a sense of what happened here. We talked a little bit earlier for a minute about the rebuilding of the heart of the business in Greensburg, but it was also the role of Scott Brown and the Browns and what they did, and an old family from Kansas, and what they did to kind of make that happen. Because I read that when they saw how much it was going to cost per square foot, people got into a panic about what it would cost to rent there. But something very interesting happened.
Well, you know, Scott Brown had a vision of a brighter tomorrow, and we went out as a community, and he was instrumental in it, and the board of Kiowa County United, and raised over $1.5 million to build 9 storefronts on Main Street to be able to have retail and office space come in. And this money did not come from the state, did not come from the feds. It came from private people donating $1.5 million. And what that shows you, Mark, is the commitment and the heart and soul of this community and this region of how we were taught, if you take care of the land, it takes care of yourself. It teaches us how we were told, hey, if you're going to get something done, don't rely on somebody else. Do it yourself. And so we banded together, and we built that, and they're all full and had its grand opening this just past Saturday. It's those kind of things that change the world. It's small, committed people, small, committed groups that change the world.
So tell me what do you think the prospects are for your town, Greensburg, and where it might be going in the next 10 years. You look at other towns around you in Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Colorado, Texas, Wyoming. They're having some very tough times.
We have tremendous opportunities right here with wind and solar and those emerging technologies to be able not just to implement the big wind and solar, but to implement small, residential and small businesses, to get that to where it's cost effective, to where they can be able to pencil it out and make sure that their utility bills are lower. But we have a tremendous opportunity here in South Central Kansas to lead the nation in the wind and solar development. And we're seeing that with the advent of major multinational corporations locating to our area to build wind turbines. So in the midst of all that, the central United States, and specifically South Central Kansas, is a driving force of alternative energies, even though we've been perceived in years past as a oil and gas state, Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas. But we also understand the future needs to be in the alternatives, and we're seeing it come from the grassroots up. It's not from D.C. down. It has to transcend politics. It's about being environmental stewards. It's about taking care of what we've been blessed with.
All right, let me ask that question, what that thing that means to you for the rest of America. When you say, let's take politics out of it, and I think politics has played a detrimental role in a lot of things that we face. But as you said early in the program, to build these wind turbines, to take the town off the grid and supply its energy needs, to build a Leeds hospital, to build a Leeds school, to build all these other green facilities and bring young people back to the town who are excited about where the future is going and how this really changes things, because you build community around this as well, not just buildings, you're building a community, so, and rebuilding your community. But you said earlier, you know, without some of the outside help, this probably could not have been done. So what does that say to you about when you enter the discussion about how we turn America from a fossil fuel-based world in the next 50 years to a world like Greensburg? How do we get there? Because clearly it takes some investment and some commitment to make it happen.
The second thing you said is the highly critical thing, in my opinion. It takes commitment. And it takes commitment from each one of us Americans, as citizens of the United States, to change that. It takes the commitment that we need to start addressing our consumption habits and how we are able to still maintain commerce and enterprise and businesses, but in the aspect of how can we be more energy efficient. And in all that, we can make all that work. It's just a comprehensive plan that you had to come up with. You have to set your priorities of what is important to us as a country and not just any one individual. You know, Mark, great things happen when there's total disregard for who gets credit. And so when we go through that process of establishing what is the important priorities of a national energy policy, then we can match all our decisions against that priority list, and do they match that? And that's how our rebuilding process and what our focus has been in Greensburg is we've tried to stay the course and make sure we identified what was important to us.
Bob Dixon, Mayor of Greensburg, Kansas, it has been a real pleasure to have you on the air with us, and thank you so much. Look forward to meeting you when you come to Baltimore.
Well, Mark, thank you very much, and I'll just do one more thing. I just need to do this.
Go ahead.
I feel from the heart. I want to thank your listeners. We want to build a town here that the United States is proud of. We also encourage, and I encourage, all your listeners to come out to that Maryland State Fairgrounds and to the Wind and Solar Expo and see what they can do to make a difference in their own life.
Thank you so much, Mayor Dixon.
Mark, thank you.
Great to have you on. Mayor Dixon will be here this Saturday at the Solar and Wind Expo. You can go to the solarandwindexpo.com for more information. He'll be giving the keynote address at noon there at the Ammonium Fairgrounds. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite. This month, Urbanite explores the city's contemporary art scene and prospects for leveraging this cultural energy into a force for broader community change. Urbanite is available at over 800 locations. You can visit www.urbanitebaltimore.com for a complete list of drop locations. And let me just add that this is the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Coming up in our next segment, we'll talk about the wonderful new documentary, Freedom Riders, that will be at the Maryland Film Festival. Stay with us. We'll be right back.